Jesus teaches his disciples that true purity is a matter of the heart rather than outward religious observances. Almost immediately, this teaching is tested when a woman considered to be a pagan and unclean approaches him for help. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them be alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just as then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one whose cross we bear, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. Words have tremendous power. Jesus makes this very clear in our text today. And we know this from our own experiences, whether it be from witnessing a motivated football team marching down the field to score a game-winning touchdown in the last minute, or we've seen it, or maybe done it, where words have cut deep down to the bone in an argument, in a fight with a spouse, as we say regretful words. Words build up, they support, and they express love. Words also cut down, diminish, and manifest hate. Lack of words similarly have the same effect. As Bonhoeffer wrote, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself." God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. What comes from our being, Jesus says, comes from our heart. Now, if you remember, in Jesus' day, this isn't our emotions that we equate to our heart feelings of today. But rather, in Jesus' time, the heart is the place of rationality. It's what comes from our inner being, our core. Behavior is a reflection of one's essence. It's their character. The unclean acts, the sins that Jesus lists in our passage today, these are sins that are done against another. And for Jesus, purity is not a question of emotions, nor doing the right symbolic actions, but rather they are of oneself, of one's character, especially when it comes to the relationship with them. And after Jesus' straightforward guidance this morning in our passage, his words are instantly put to the test as he encounters this Canaanite woman. And to be honest with you, I find myself troubled by Jesus' interaction. He does the opposite of what he has just taught the crowds and his disciples. First, we see this as Jesus completely ignores this woman's pleas by not responding at all. I think we can all relate to an instance in our own lives where we've experienced the pain of being in need or wanting to talk to someone and being completely disregarded. It cuts deep. And then in dialogue with his disciples, he seems to agree with the disciples in their dismissal of this woman by responding to them, stating that he is only here for the house of Israel, his own people. Then finally, when she kneels and pleads at Jesus' feet, Jesus insults her. He calls her a dog. It's not a cute puppy that you and I have or might have in our house. Dogs are vultures of the day. They're scavengers. Jesus' initial reaction to this woman is rude and rejectful. Now, I'm aware of, and I know of the other interpretations of this passage where people like to take this text and use it in a way that presents Jesus as testing this woman's faith. But honestly, I don't buy it. It doesn't add up. It doesn't align itself with other texts in the Gospels, particularly stories about Jesus. And I suspect the reason we tend to do this is because we want to have understanding, to be more comfortable, to be able to keep Jesus in that good guy image that we have. We don't make stained glass of Jesus with whips. The text. Our text seemingly points to Jesus following the social norms of rejecting a people different than his own. And I'm sorry if this troubles you, but we need to be honest with what's going on here in the text. Because what if? What if, despite Jesus' hurtful words and actions, the Canaanite woman's persistent, painful pleas showed Jesus that his mission was more than just for Israel? What if Jesus, in his encounter, grew with his conversation or his experience with the Canaanite woman? A woman who is not like him and a rejected being that was desiring recognition as a child of God. What if Jesus learned something in the midst of human suffering? What if we too have something to learn? As Jesus did. At this time, brothers and sisters, I'd like to share with you some thoughts that I've from another ELCA pastor, whose words I find to be very prophetic and a true confession within my own being. This piece is entitled Because of Me, and it's written by Tim, who is an ELCA pastor in Wisconsin. Because of Me. The story goes something like this. In the early 20th century, The Times, a newspaper in London, sent a request to famous authors asking them to reply to the following question: what is wrong with the world? Pages and pages were sent back by many authors, but the most important and the most resonating reply was only two words. G.K. Chesterton, a Catholic convert who might be most well known for his Father Brown novels, replied with two words. His response to the question of what is wrong with this world was, "I am." Over the last few months, and especially after this past week and events in Charlottesville, I have heard people ask the question, how does white supremacy still exist? Or how is racism still a thing in 2017? I will take a page from Mr. Chesterton, although I will need three words. How does white supremacy still exist? How is racism still a thing? Because of me. It's easy to condemn the type of racism that we have seen in Charlottesville. It is easy to see torches and Nazi and Confederate flags and say it is wrong and evil. Or it should be easy to say it is wrong and evil. But I want to get at something deeper and harder to condemn. Racism did not solely exist in a bubble in Charlottesville, Virginia last weekend. It did not just appear when 9 African Americans were shot in their church basement after welcoming a young white man to join them. Racism is not just prevalent when one individual or small group of individuals say and do things that the clear majority of us disagree with and disavow. Likewise, racism did not end with the Civil War or with the Civil Rights Act. Racism persists today in many forms and areas of everyday life. This is the racism that we need to learn more about and denounce. It is the racism that, as a white person, I don't want to see or admit even exists. This takes self-reflection and honesty. It means admitting how I condone benefit from the continued, and it means admitting how I condone benefit from and continue to allow it, even when I verbally say I don't agree with it. This is the kind of racism that I believe G.K. Chesterton was admitting to, because it was then and still is now one of the problems with the world. With this answer of "I am," this is what I mean when I respond with the answer "because of me." Because of me. When I don't listen to the issues that people of color are talking about, racism continues to exist because of me. When I do listen to the issues that people of color talk about, but don't take it seriously or dismiss it as not true, racism exists because of me. When I do listen to the issues that people of color talk about and do take it seriously, then just file the information away and don't let it change me. Racism exists because of me. When I remain silent about the way the world works to the benefit of some, including me, knowing it is also to the detriment of others, racism still exists because of me. When I tell myself that I cannot make a difference and the problem is bigger than just me, racism exists because of me. When I give more authority to, believe the opinion of, and am more comfortable listening to someone who looks like me over someone who is different from me, racism still exists because of me. Jesus once said, "It is not what goes into a person that defiles, but it is what comes out of a person that defiles." I think there is truth in that. I need to be more concerned about what comes out of my mouth, or perhaps even more what comes out of my life, including when what comes out is silence. Perhaps if I were, there would be less evil, less ugly, less crap, and that's my edit, less crap for others to consume, which might lead to less of all of that being produced by others. But it doesn't happen when I simply condemn what is obvious and how others are wrong with the world. I first need to look at myself and acknowledge that racism and evil exist in the world because of me. End of quote. I found this to be very moving, very insightful, and I pray that it will be for you as well. In our text, Jesus allowed himself to be convicted, and he changed his mind. Why shouldn't we? Jesus has paved the way, showing us what servant leadership looks like, freeing us to do his good work for the sake of our hurting neighbors. This is part of the commitment that you and I have made in our baptismal covenants with God. In addition to living amongst God's people, hearing the good news, and partaking in the Lord's Supper, we commit to proclaiming the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. We commit to serve all people following the example of Jesus. And we commit to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. How might we be changed and act outwardly from our inner beings as Jesus did in God's all-encompassing love? Because as Jesus would come to realize, all belong to God and are God's beloved children. Amen.